God's people, we're going to go to the scriptures and read in Romans chapter 14, and our congregation is going through Romans in the evenings, and we're in Romans 14 now. We're going to read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 23. Romans 14, and beginning in verse 1, these are God's holy words, and so let's give our attention to them. Him that is weak in faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught for thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know, and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and is approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything hereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And those are God's words. Now, God's people, this chapter calls us in how to manage our relations of love toward our neighbor, more particularly in the things of the church, and towards our brother in and regarding the things, especially of worship. And even those in particular who were weak in faith among the Jews after Christ's death, and we're still celebrating, observing the Old Testament forms and ceremonies of worship in the temple worship and things like that, the sacrifices or attempting to. And now that's been abrogated in Christ by His final sacrifice, as Hebrews teaches us, that they should still be shown. Those people who are still struggling with that transition from Old Testament worship, temple worship, to now worship as the church as we know it today, They should still be shown in love even though they are struggling with that. Not to despise such things. They are struggling in their faith. And so today, consider ourselves, those who are weak in faith. Consider the struggle they're going through. And we can apply this in various ways, but particularly today, we could apply it to those who are new to the faith and those maybe who have been in the faith a longer time. And you could, if you were have been a Christian for a long time, you could come and you could see these new Christians or new disciples and come and pound them down because of every error that they're committing, every sin. But that would not be according to love. But to rather continue discipling and teaching them gently with patience and love and humility. And remember when you were that young in the faith, how often you struggled yourself. And so remember that. And so let not weakness in faith bring division in the church. If you kept pounding your brother or sister in Christ, that could bring division. And does this mean that we should then give up standing for the truth? No, we have to stand for the truth. Ephesians 4, we are united as the bride of Christ based upon truth. Where does unity come from but the truth? Does this mean we accommodate God's worship to the world? By no means. Are there people who struggle with His worship? Yes, there are people who struggle with His worship according to His Word. But does that mean we compromise with the world or those who struggle with His worship? No, we can't do that. We have to follow His commandments. But we can gently teach them. And we can bring them along in kindness. And so, beloved, in this chapter, remember humility, grace, perseverance, and discipleship, and love. And do not turn from the truth or the purity of God's worship. Well, God's people, let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise once again for Your Word. I know in the church today, this particular chapter is, if we could go into greater detail, we would find it's a lot harder to apply than other passages of Scripture. And yet, we're thankful that You teach us to love one another, no matter the weakness of our faith or the strength of our faith. And Father, we do pray that You would strengthen us today. We're thankful for the time that we have this evening in worship to celebrate the Lord's Supper, in which You have given that to not only to remember Christ's death, not only to proclaim His death to one another until He comes, but also to be strengthened in our faith as the bride of Christ. And so we ask that You would do so this evening. Strengthen us in our weaknesses of loving You, of following You. And Father, in this we must come confessing our sins, for we have broken Your commandments. Father, we have made and had other gods before You, gods of this world, whether that be our phones and internet, entertainment and pleasures, our family, even sometimes we've put before You. Sometimes ourselves we've put before You. And so, Father, forgive us. And we've made other gods, made little images of gods, and committed idolatry against You. Father, whether that's money or various other things, our work. Father, forgive us of breaking Your commandment, the second commandment. And the third commandment, we've taken Your name in vain. We've joked around about Your Word and who You are, even to people in the church and as Christians. Father, we ought to honor Your name and respect You and reverence You and fear You. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We ought to keep our vows and our oaths, marriage vows and membership vows. And Father, we ask that You would, by Your Spirit, cause us to pay our vows unto the Lord, as the psalmist says. That we would keep our word and our promise to our neighbor and to You. Father, we've broken the fourth commandment, remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We've brought in other things on this day that we've thought are more important, and yet they're not resting in You. as you command us, and that for the good of our souls, not to hurt us. And we have not worked diligently all 6 days, the rest of the week, leading up to this week, or this Lord's Day. And so, Father, now give us rest as much as we have it left this Lord's Day. May it be a blessing to our souls. And of course, we've broken the commandments of loving our neighbor in the 5th through the 10th commandments. We have not honored our father and mother. We've not honored our authorities. We've not honored our inferiors, those under us in authority. We have dishonored them or lorded over them or disobeyed our parents. Father, forgive us of such sins. We have murdered in our hearts, as Jesus teaches us. We've been angry at others or bitter. We have committed adultery and lusted after things, but also other people. Father, forgive us of such sins. And Father, we've stolen. We've stolen time from you that you've granted to us. We've been bad stewards of that. We've stolen the time that we have that you've given in our workplaces and been lazy. Father, we have lied and borne false witness against our neighbor in the 9th commandment, breaking that. We've gossiped and slandered, and we've coveted. And how much we have coveted, Father, as your people. Father, forgive us of all these sins that we've committed in thought, word, deed, even in our emotions and feelings. Father, we have broken your commandments. But we are thankful for the blood of Christ who cleanses us of all sins. We're thankful that we have an advocate with you, Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he washes us, even as we heard in the call to worship. He takes our sin and even cleanses us as far as the east is from the west. So far have you cleansed our sin from us. We're thankful in Christ for this. And Father, this day we do pray for our presbytery meeting coming up in a couple weeks. The elders of the various churches in our area meeting. We ask that you would bless those who are being examined for next steps towards ordination and the various ministries of the church and missions and church planting. We ask that you would provide ministers for those congregations where there is no minister in Colorado Springs and Houston and San Antonio. We ask that you would bless those who come and who work under the authority of Jesus Christ, who is Zion's King and Head of the Church. But then, Father, we pray for this congregation also. We ask for your help, that you would bless us, that you would bless us with new elders, new deacons. You would provide for us, but also protect us from the evil one and our bodies and souls. And Father, may you grow us to such a number that we would be able to plant another church, not so that we could glory in ourselves, but to glory in you with that great hope that we have that the gospel will go to all nations and continue doing that even as we seek to plant another church in Missouri, and that perhaps even to the ends of the earth, that all nations would come unto you and covenant with you. And so we pray for our government too. We pray for our nation's leaders and rulers. We ask that you would turn their hearts to you, that you would save them from their sins, that they would rule according to your word, and they would covenant with Christ your Son, who is the King of kings, that is, the King of all rulers. As Daniel says, the ruler of rulers. And Father, we ask that you would thereby hold off your judgment of this nation for a time, even for the few righteous who remain, for your sake, for your glory, if it would be your will to save us from all our sins as a nation. And we have great sins of this nation. So Father, hold off your judgment if it be your will. And show us mercy, even for the few righteous who remain. And Father, now as we continue worshiping you, we ask that you would cause us to worship not only going through the motions according to truth, according to your word, but with our hearts. And so that we would worship with sincerity of heart. And that your name would be praised, not only from our bodies and our mouths, but even from our heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.